My guest at this time is Florida Republican Congressman Vern Buchanan. He represents the Sunshine State's 13th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, which is the top tax writing committee in the House of Representatives. He is also the sponsor of a proposed balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which he and many other conservatives here in Washington believe is a critical component to solving the puzzle of America's debt crisis. And Congressman, thank you very much for your time today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Greg, really do.
We've heard a lot of talk from some lawmakers and certainly from public interest groups about the idea of cut, cap, and balance, balance being the balanced budget amendment. It was an idea that got pretty far in the U.S. Congress about 15 years ago, didn't ultimately make it into the Constitution, of course. What specifically is in this proposal for a balanced budget amendment now?
Well, what we're trying to do is that, again, I've been here a little over 4 years, been in business for 30 years, but if you look back, let me just say, the last 50 years, we've only balanced the budget five times. They got 49 out of 50 governors that have to balance the budget. We're running a $14 trillion debt and a $1.5 trillion deficit each year, so we need a balanced budget amendment. But my balanced budget amendment that I introduced basically would just hold the expenses, the spending down to 18% of the GDP. Also, it doesn't allow them to raise taxes unless it's a supermajority. And also, you cannot submit, the president has to submit a balanced budget plan to us. So that's what we're going to be fighting for and pushing, and we're looking to get a vote out ideally by the end of July.
And, of course, that would trigger a process. It would need two-thirds in the House and Senate, correct, and then three-quarters of the states before it would take effect.
Yeah. And well, what we're trying to do, we came within one vote in 1997. In fact, Senator Joe Biden back then voted for it. So I don't see, hopefully we've got the momentum today to do that, because when you just break it down, it's $188 million an hour deficit spending that we're spending. We only take in enough revenues to pay the bills, I think, through July 27th. So we clearly have to do something now. Otherwise, we're going to put the next generation clearly at risk, and maybe ourselves as well.
Some analysts have said that while this may seem like a lengthy process, enough states could deal with it pretty quickly if Congress were to approve it and the president were to approve it, although two-thirds in each chamber would make the president's opinion irrelevant. What do you sense is the opinion of most of your colleagues in the House and even any polling you've done on the Senate side?
Well, the general sense is that we think the time is now. I mean, these opportunities don't come up that often, but I think a lot of people in America are paying attention, realizing that we put everything at risk, Social Security, Medicare, our way of life, everything. So I think people are really ginned up on this and more knowledgeable about it. And the bottom line is that they've had a lot of schemes and ideas here, and this debt commission, PAYGO, when I first got in here with a Democratic proposal, I voted for it. But to try to get to a balanced budget amendment. But the reality of it is the Congress is incapable of self-managing the finances here. And we need a constitutional balanced budget amendment, as 49 out of 50 governors have.
There may be some who say, well, a balanced budget amendment sounds good in principle. For the most part, that would probably be an effective way and a smart way to run things. But you never know what comes up. You have hurricanes. You have wars, obviously, that have popped up as a result of terrorist activity that forced us into conflict over the past decade. How do you account for things like that without addressing potentially the revenue side?
Well, I think that's the thing where the Congress would have to address it at that point in time. I mean, if we end up with a war or something else, I mean, they have to clearly take a look at it. But the bottom line, if you look back again over the last 30 years or 40 years, even when we've had fairly good times, they continue to spend more than we take in. It's not, in my mind, a tax issue. It's a spending issue. When I got here, we took in $2.7 trillion. We were up 10%. Our revenues over the year before, we still overspent $130 billion. Now, fast forward 4 years, three, 4 years, we had $1.3, $1.4 trillion deficits each year. And, there's a lot of frivolous spending that goes on. We don't have enough time on your show to even begin to go there. But the bottom line is, like families and small businesses, they've had to make the cuts. I know so many companies, little businesses in our area, that have cut their expenses 30, 40% in the last two or three years, made the adjustments. The state of Florida has probably been down on average about $3 billion a year. But they've made the tough choices, and, you know, people whine about it a little bit, but they know you're better off to – you got to make those hard choices. And we don't need to do that up here because we got a credit card just to go spend more money. The Chinese and the Japanese lend us the money, and we go spend it.
Any promises yet from the Speaker or the Majority Leader when this balanced budget amendment proposal would hit the floor?
We're looking at the end of July, speaking with the Speaker today, this morning, and he was with us and others in our caucus, and I think that's kind of the time frame in terms of our own balanced budget amendment. I'm looking to introduce one. We've got another gentleman that's going to introduce one, but at the end of the day, we want a balanced budget amendment that gets passed through the House by the end of July and then let the Senate and the White House deal with it. But I got to believe, if you look back in 97, if they came one vote short in the environment we're in today, you got to think that we're going to have more than enough votes.
Well, we'll certainly watch that. Before we let you go, I just want to get your reaction to what seems to be a bit of a shift in the administration's position on the debt ceiling talks, and I guess it certainly dovetails with what we've just been talking about, and that's that the president now says entitlements are on the table, but he still wants some concessions from Republicans when it comes to tax rates, something that virtually every Republican to a man and woman has basically said is not on the table. What do you make of that step in the negotiations?
Well, again, I think it's not so much a tax issue as it is a spending issue, and I think the president realizes with entitlements it's something that we've got to address. And then also, I mean, because the raise taxes in a recession, you're going to be raising taxes on a lot of small business people or create 70% of the jobs. Everybody will tell you it's not a good time to be raising taxes in this environment.
In terms of entitlement reform, would that need to be done hand in hand with the balanced budget amendment? A lot of folks say without major reform, something like a balanced budget is a bit of a dream at this point because of the fact that it's growing so exponentially as Americans age.
Well, I think the bottom line is that, you know, the balanced budget amendment might phase in over 4 or 7 years. It's got to be somewhat realistic. But there is a lot of frivolous spending that goes on, a lot of programs that are in place. And I think clearly we can cut 20% out. And do it, you know, fairly quickly over a period of 4 or 5 years or something.
We'll certainly be watching. This is a major, major aspect of this debate, and we will definitely follow it on the House floor and beyond, should it get the 2/3 majority in that chamber. Congressman, thank you very much for your time today.
And thank you, because, again, I appreciate the opportunity to visit on this. I mean, we're relentless about getting this balanced budget amendment because every generation has left it better for the next generation, and I clearly want to do that, and many of my colleagues as well, and that's why we need the balanced budget amendment today.
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Florida Republican Congressman Vern Buchanan represents his state's 13th congressional district, member of the House Ways and Means Committee, and sponsor of the balanced budget amendment in the House of Representatives. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America.